presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
If you were listening on Friday on Dog Nation Daily, we had our buddy Jeff Sintel, who, by the way, will be with us again today, coming up in a couple of minutes. And he told us about what he's calling, or I guess Georgia may be calling, hopefully not, the quote-unquote barbecue this weekend. Now, I have renewed my objection many times to calling something that doesn't include pig or any kind of meat cooked in the ground, smoked. I renew my objection to calling that barbecue. If it's burgers, if it's dogs, if it's Polish sausages on a grill, it's a cookout, not a barbecue. But for the most part, that doesn't really matter for right now. What does matter is who's going to be there. And we'll talk more to Jeff about this with Jeff Sintel coming up in a couple of minutes as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update today. But let me kind of give you a little bit of a list of the confirmed visitors for coming up this weekend, both a couple of the committed variety, a couple of the uncommitted variety, and there's a whole lot more names on this as well that I'm sure Jeff Sintel will fill in the dots with as we get closer to that time. If you're watching on video, you see on your screen the Georgia quarterback, Mick Carson, back. Back was among the first on social media to RSVP his way into Athens. He says, "I'm going to be back in Athens this Saturday. Looking forward to having the Georgia quarterback commit back on campus." And in situations like this, obviously Beck doesn't need to see a whole lot more about Georgia. He likes his situation there. He's told us many times before how strongly he feels about the status of his UGA commitment and how excited he was to get that offer from Georgia. I think you've probably already connected the dots for this yourself, but I'll say it out loud nonetheless. The real value of having your quarterback commit on campus for a weekend like this is because when these committed guys are there, they just create an additional energy and vibe for the uncommitted prospects who are on hand. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if Carson Beck would flat out say the reason why he's there is because he wants to work on some of the guys who are uncommitted. Another name you may be able to put in that category of happy at Georgia, but wanting a chance to maybe talk to some other guys about the decision they're going to make, that's Tate Ratledge. Now, Ratledge has been one of the recruits in the country with a bullet next to his name for a while. He seemingly played great at the opening a couple of weeks ago. Our buddy Mike Johnson has raved about him both on camera for our Real Talk and, you know, privately with me as well, and I shared some of that information with you not too long ago in Dog Nation Daily. Let's see that tweet one more time from Ratledge. I'll show you what he had to say about what's going on down there. When he saw Carson Beck's tweet about being in Athens, Ratledge says, "I'll see you there." And it's exciting thing about both those committed prospects being on hand. But as we've kind of alluded to now a couple of times, it's really the uncommitted prospects that a weekend like this is for. It's a big event. It's almost like the 2019 version of what the West End Zone reveal was back a year ago. It's Georgia's first chance to have guys back on campus after what's been a dead period for most of this month. And it's really those uncommitted guys that you have a chance to impress. And luckily for Georgia, they are going to have a list of uncommitted guys that they can impress. Let me start here with Keely Ringo. Ringo is one of those hot names. He announced Georgia as one of his finalists back on June 27th. Jeff Sintel told us on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger last week that he may go all the way down to the wire announcing in an all-star game, but nonetheless, Georgia gets another chance to impress. He's got his hand in the air on Twitter saying, "I'm going to be going there too." So a follow the visits mantra may be here for the young man from Arizona taking an unofficial visit into Athens for the cookout here. That's really good news. Another uncommitted prospect who's expected to be on hand as well is the five-star tight end from out in Nevada. Another West Coast visitor coming in for this. How about Darnell Washington, who also put on social media, "Don't forget about me," being there as well. So you got yourself a nice little list of uncommitted prospects starting to announce their presence. Darnell Washington's a big name. That's a fun guy to think about. He's almost like the West Coast version of what a Rick Gilbert is out of Marietta, Georgia, one of these unique athletes at the tight end position that's big like a defensive end, runs like a wide receiver, at least in some respects. Catches the ball very, very well. That's a really fun prospect to be there. And then another uncommitted guy that we also know is going to be at the cookout this weekend by virtue of what he told our buddy Jeff Sintel from Dog Nation is Cedric Von Prahm, the four-star offensive lineman out of New Orleans. Now, if you don't mind, for a minute or so here, I kind of want to park on Von Prahm because I think this is a pretty important recruitment for Georgia, made more important by the fact that the Dogs got left at the altar for Andrew Rame, the offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, not all that long ago. Now, we know for sure that Von Prahm's going to be in Georgia this weekend, despite the fact there were a lot of schools that were hoping he'd come visit them. But Von Prahm didn't mince words about this. Didn't mince words about this at DogNation.com. He says, "Sometimes you got to herd a couple feelings. But I'll be at Georgia this weekend for the simple fact I visited Texas A&M and Alabama in the last couple of months, and I want to get back to Georgia. That last sentence Doc Sands will like, Van Prine saying, I've been in New Orleans, I've been cooped up here, I'm ready to get back on the road, and I'm ready to get back to Georgia. As I said before, we'll talk to Jeff Sintel more about this in a moment, but if you don't mind, let me kind of editorialize in this for a moment. So if you look at the piece, it's at dognation.com. It posted, was it Sunday or Monday this thing posted? Monday this thing posted at dognation.com. Headline says, from Jeff Sintel, priority offensive line target, Cedric Von Prahn previews his big weekend family visit. And yes, indeed, he is coming, and he kind of had a kind of a lighthearted take on some of the stuff he was hoping they would have there for him at this upcoming cookout. But you also get into some deeper stuff and maybe even some more important stuff in this piece. The fact that Van Prahn's mom is living in Baton Rouge, and apparently this pull from LSU, the in-state school, starts to be stronger. I hate to say this, but I did predict that about a month or so ago, and it turned out that's kind of true. Van Prahn apparently has some family moving to Georgia, already has some family apparently living in Kennesaw, but that doesn't seem to be, based on this read I'm getting from Jeff Sintel here and what talking to Van Prahn, and Jeff will help us separate fact from fiction on this coming up in just a bit, but the gravitational pull towards the Georgia-based family doesn't seem to be as strong as the gravitational pull towards the mom who's planning to remain living in Louisiana here, and obviously those of us, we can all kind of understand that. Moms, are a really important figure in anyone's life, and for Van Prahn, that seems to be the case, and the fact that she lives in Baton Rouge is a little bit of a, ooh, maybe makes you a little bit nervous for an offensive lineman that kind of becomes a bit more of a must-get for Georgia, after not getting a guy it thought it was going to get in Andrew Rain. So the good news is, if you want to win recruiting battles like this, you got to have guys on campus. Georgia gets Cedric Von Prahn coming up this weekend, and a whole lot more guys. Between now and Friday, end of the week, going towards the weekend, my guess is there'll be a lot of news coming out on all of this, including maybe some other names to add to this list, and I, for one, cannot wait to talk about all of this with you right here on our program. And speaking of our program, my name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on the radio at noon, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just really glad to have you with us today. Obviously, getting ready for next Thursday. Hard to believe it's only next week now. We have really kind of cut in on this. The next big event for us, Dog Nation Days of Summer-wise, there at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in beautiful Towns County, Georgia. If you're watching a video, you see how nice it looks. It is fantastic. I cannot wait to be with all of you who are there, whether you're staying overnight with us, being a part of our VIP reception, whether you're just coming over for the public event that night that starts at 6 p.m., or going to be with us the next morning for Dog Nation Daily. This is going to be an amazing event. I've got a lot more announcements in the days to come for why Dog Nation Days of Summer at Brasstown keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'll tell you about all of that. Let me remind you of a couple things right now, though. Today is the last day, if you have not registered for your chance to win the VIP stay giveaway, courtesy of Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Make sure you get into the website. Do that. This is the last day to register for that. There is also another giveaway we're doing, and this is my first day to kind of talk to you about this. So let me give you all the information on this. Kind of concurrent to us being at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa next Thursday for Dog Nation Days of Summer, that following Friday and Saturday, August 2nd and 3rd, there's a Swing for Kids golf tournament going on at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Now, this is an amazing tournament for benefiting a great cause. It's hosted by Christ Starfish Foundation. It's an event that specifically benefits the ongoing work they do to help patient families in the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta Network during the years, 2019-2020. The event's going to kick off on Friday, August 2nd. There's dinner. There's a musical entertainment by Banks and Shane. There's going to be a silent auction as well. And the golf tournament's also going to be on Saturday. There's going to be some celebrities there. Former Braves, for instance, I know, are kind of playing in this thing. A whole, great list of celebrities. You get a chance to win your way into this. You can win a foursome to this really, really fun golf tournament on that Saturday. Many of you are planning on staying on Thursday. I know it'd be a lot of fun, really smart to kind of extend your stay throughout the weekend, kind of going into that, because this tournament's going to be that much fun. The course is going to be beautiful. You can take advantage of some of the other stuff around town. It's kind of like Lake Chetuke, about a mile or so away from Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. Just really enjoy the weekend. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away one of these foursomes to this really fun golf tournament, the Swing for Kids Golf Tournament, benefiting the Christ Starfish Foundation. We're going to benefit, we're going to give away one of these foursomes. Here's what I want you to do. The email address that we've kind of used for some of this stuff in the past, I want to show it to you one more time. And this is the email address you want to go to, dognationhelp@gmail.com. Simply in your email, tell us who you are, tell us how we can get in touch with you, and say, I'd like to win the foursome to the Swing for Kids Golf Tournament hosted by the Christ Starfish Foundation at a Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on August 2nd and 3rd. I'd like to win that foursome. And we will take all the emails that we get. We'll kind of draw one at random, and that'll be the winner of our foursome there. So it's an incredible, incredible offer. It's going to be an amazing golf tournament, and the convenient-wise, it's right after Dog Nation Days of Summer. So we're going to give away one of these foursomes. For your chance to win, go to dognationhelp@gmail.com, and you can get more information about that. Does it all make sense? Hopefully it does. Dognationhelp@gmail.com. That's the email to send it to if you'd like to win this foursome to what is going to be a really, really fun celebrity golf tournament. All right, for a couple of minutes before we bring on Jeff Sintel, let me talk a little bit about Jake Fromm and his candidacy for the Heisman Trophy. And here's where we set this up. There is a gambling-themed show on ESPN. You have to understand the context of this question for what Kirk Herbstreit's about to say here. Otherwise, it's not going to make as much sense. And obviously, on a gambling-themed show, they're talking about bets they want to make. And some of those are just on a game-by-game basis. But there are also the futures bets that are out there. Many of you are aware of this. We talk about this on Dog Nation Daily from time to time, that you can make bets on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. And if you look around the world here, Fromm's odds float somewhere around, I've seen them as low as 12-1 at one point in time. I think 14-1 they are right now at Bet Online. The ESPN guys here, I think, are talking about Fromm in kind of a 20-1 range. So that's where kind of Fromm's been for most of this, somewhere between, like, say, you know, 12-1 earlier on, 20-1 now, something in between that. That's about what Fromm's odds are. There's like five or six guys in the country who have better odds than Jake Fromm to win the Heisman Trophy. So when Kirk Herbstreit, the ESPN analyst, was on this show yesterday or sometime within the last couple of days, he was asked, hey, given the odds that are out there, who is a good pick to win the Heisman Trophy? Not the guy that you think's going to win it, but the guy that could win it compared to some kind of interesting odds. Who might be a fun bet, in other words, on the Heisman Trophy? And in the midst of this conversation, Kirk Herbstreit makes the case for Fromm. Here is what Herbstreit said on ESPN.
I think Georgia has a chance to have a magical year. Arguably the best leader in the country is Jake Fromm, the quarterback at Georgia. So I know he hasn't put up big numbers up to this point in his career, but I do think that his steady hand and his leadership and Georgia winning week after week after week, don't be shocked you get to November and Jake Fromm's a name that a lot of people will be talking about.
So that's obviously going to resonate a good bit. Herbstreit, a big name in college football, touting Jake Fromm for the Heisman Trophy, even if it's within kind of a best bets context, not necessarily his actual pick to win the award. However, it does kind of lead me with a question. Can you lead your way to the Heisman Trophy? That sort of feels like the kind of thing that you play your way towards. I know it's kind of a best player on best team symbolic award from time to time, but when you make the case for Fromm winning the Heisman Trophy, if most of what you make your case for is more in the leadership category, more so than the on-field results category, you know, that seems to me to be kind of a half-hearted praise, if that. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I think that Fromm can be a Heisman candidate this season, but I don't think that he's going to make that status because of his intangible characteristic. If you give me a choice, I will take tangible qualities, what I can measure about you, over intangible qualities any day of the week. And there is no doubt Fromm's got the intangibles. But the Heisman Trophy status for me comes more about, you know, what can Fromm add to his list of tangible credentials, the touchdowns that he throws, the big throws that he makes. However, there is another side of this as well, though. I mean, you may have heard Paul Feinbaum on Dog Nation Daily last week, also as a part of DN90 as well. You heard Herbstreit touting the leadership of Jake Fromm. Well, Paul Feinbaum on our program would certainly agree with that. He says that he thinks Fromm's a better leader than Trevor Lawrence is for Clemson and Tua Tagovailoa is for Alabama. In fact, here is how Paul Feinbaum explained that.
I think of those three, he is the best leader. I think Jake has total command of that team. Kirby said something interesting today, and I really never thought about it, that he has a little bit of Tim Tebow in him. And I agree, having spent 5 years traveling with Tim, you know, what made Tebow great? he willed his team to win. And I think the one ingredient we haven't seen yet, and I think we may very well see this year, is Jake Fromm has to, when the opportunity is there, to will his team to victory as opposed to allow it to slip away.
Yeah, see, I think for a quarterback, you don't will your team to victory. I think you throw your team to victory. And it's really interesting to hear Fromm there compared to Tim Tebow. I don't mind that comparison, even though Tebow's a Gator. But I'll tell you this, I'd much rather have Fromm compared to Kyler Murray. I'd have no idea if Kyler Murray was a good leader or not. I think quarterback's position leadership is required, but I do know that Kyler Murray threw for nearly 12 yards per attempt last year. It's the big throws that led his team in the college football playoff. You can say the same thing about Trevor Lawrence in against Alabama in the national championship game. I don't know if he's a leader or not, but I know he can make big throws. I think this could be a big-time year for Georgia, and as Kirk Herbstreit said, it may even be a magical year. But I don't think that Fromm's going to lead his way there necessarily. I think he needs to throw his way there, and I think the good news is I think Jake Fromm has a very good chance of doing that. Thanks so much for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We got a lot of fun stuff coming up, including some recruiting talk with Jeff Sintel. Hope you enjoy it.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So, Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, good to have you with us for that, but it's very good to have Jeff Sintel with us here as well, because we got a lot to talk about. As we said on Friday, Georgia's hosting a major recruiting weekend this upcoming weekend. We've already got a list of names who are going to be there. But Jeff, if you don't mind, let's focus in on the guy that you wrote about at DogNation.com this week. That's the four-star offensive lineman, Cedric Von Prawn. I thought it was a great piece, wide-ranging on a number of subjects. And if you will allow, let me just kind of dive right into it. It didn't leave me feeling all that great about the situation with the Von Prawn. Am I reading too much into it or incorrectly reading into it by saying that?
Oh, Brad, it's sometimes my man, I laugh. You take a big cannonball into the pool and you go negative Nancy on me a little bit. I think, you know, if we want to really discuss Cedric Von Prawn a lot, you got to remember Georgia's the school that was the first big boy in the SEC to offer him while others were figuring it out, wanting him to come camp, most notably in-state LSU. He just kind of feels this week, Brandon, that he needed to get back and show some love to Georgia. And let's keep the main thing the main thing. If I had to break out one specific part of that story, Brennan, you don't bring 10 to 12 family members to a cookout or a BBQ, in Brennan terms, in Athens, if you're not really seriously considering that school.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that, and I certainly agree with you on that, and you know that's all fine and well. However, in the same piece that you wrote, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, you're the guy that reports on all this, he is going to apparently take his recruitment all the way through to the end. He says he may make a silent commitment, but you know a silent commitment is exactly that. It's not you know publicly verified. If he goes radio silent during his senior year because he wants to focus on his football team, which he has every right to do, that just gives his in-state school LSU kind of, but because of the geographic advantage, kind of carte blanche to you know cozy up to him and give him all the reasons why he shouldn't leave his home state. I'm guessing some of that may have been going on during this dead period as well, not from LSU officially, but just from people in the state who just want to see him stay home, including, I'm assuming, his own mom, who, as you reported, lives in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. This is one of those that feels an awful lot like Andrew Rame, where pretty soon everybody's going to get their speeches together of, oh, it's hard to pull a offensive lineman out of Oklahoma, or it's hard to pull a running back out of Louisiana. I feel like one of these days somebody's going to be out there doing the, boy, it's hard to pull a offensive lineman out of Louisiana thing from LSU here, because I'm not entirely clear what the family connection to Georgia might be for those that he's either bringing with him this week or those that apparently are moving to Georgia. I'm not entirely sure what that family connection is, but I know what a mom living in Baton Rouge means.
Let's just kind of balance out the equation here a little bit, Brandon. Would you say the polls and the in-state poll, would it mean more if he has more family members living in Georgia than Louisiana? Would you think mom equates all that out in terms of the balance sheet with polls to be surrounded by family? I think one thing Mr. Von Prawn made very clear is it doesn't really matter what his family is doing. This decision is about where he's going to move and where he wants to play his college football. And I think another thing to consider here as well is that Cedric Von Prawn could very well make a commitment silently and save his place in a class and then go radio silent until it's time for him to announce on the All-American stage. Mind you, with Mr. Von Prawn, I've been writing about him for over a year now, and he has always said that no one was going to move him off his dream or his block or his gap, which was to commit publicly at an All-American game.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit I'm kind of a bad mood about some of this recruiting stuff today, so I'll try not to be too negative. It's our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. By the way, Marlowe's Tavern gives you a chance to put date night in its best light. You can either steal away in a comfortable booth or get yourself some creme brulee. You know, Jeff and I have actually made the creme brulee at Marlowe's. We got to put the charred fire on the top of that. That was really fun. It's all for you in the twist there at Marlowe's as they put their special twist on chef-inspired food. Make sure you check that out at a tavern right there in your neighborhood. I think you'll have a really, really good time on a date night situation there. Another guy, and by the way, let me just say this one more thing on Van Prawn for the positive before I move on. Obviously, you have got to have guys on campus to be able to sway them, and in Georgia's favor, they do get Van Prawn this weekend. As you've reported, as Van Prawn told you, he had a lot of choices of where he could go, and he's going to be in Athens instead. So one way or another, Georgia has the advantage this weekend in the fact they get to make their pitch to him personally on a face-to-face basis. So any kind of contested recruitment, you got to have the guy on your soil to have a real chance, and Georgia at least has that going for them, does it not?
Yeah, and there's little things in that story. Maybe we can help enhance your mood today with recruiting, because there's going to be, I think, upwards of 10 5-stars maybe by the time everything is said and done there at the Cookout BBQ this weekend. But he refers to Sam Pittman as Coach Pitt, which demonstrates an ease and a comfort level on first reference to call the Georgia line coach Coach Pitt. And then he also, one of the things, you just remember those stories. Every time Georgia has made had an opportunity to make a strong impression that they have, whether it's him visiting for spring drills and Kirby Smart talking to him beforehand and remembering what his favorite song was and then playing that to start off that specific spring practice he was attending. He was there at the opener last year for the season opener last year against Austin Peay. So, I mean, Georgia has really done a good job so far of recruiting Von Prawn. And he also brought up in that piece the many benefits he likes about Athens, the culture aspect, and also the city of Atlanta and having different things to do as well. You know, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Alabama, LSU, Georgia, those feel to me like the major players here for Cedric Von Prawn.
You mentioned there may be 10 5-stars there this weekend. I'm curious to know if you think one of those might end up being Jordan Burch, because the State in Columbia, the newspaper there, Matt Connolly, the writer, says that Burch is going to Clemson this weekend. Now, Clemson's only about an hour and a half from Athens, I think, up 85. So it's not like, you know, they're not all that, you know, it's not like they're all that far away. But is Burch going to choose Clemson over Georgia this weekend? If so, that's probably another thing that kind of contributes to my bad mood today.
Well, that's the stuff that we've been writing about in the Dog Nation Forum for maybe about 4 or 5 days now. We've been compiling a lot of the guest lists, who's going to be there, who's not going to be there, yada, yada, yada. You know, Burch is a guy that it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him make 2 trips and visit 2 stops. Because remember, the dead period will open up on Thursday, which is tomorrow, and then they will have until the 31st, the end of July, for a lot of these schools to make their moves. But here's the very hard part with that, Brandon. It's mostly going to be confined to this weekend, because a lot of these high school programs have their practices starting up beginning on Monday, on this upcoming Monday. So it's going to be very hard for players at these schools to break away and go visit Georgia in the interim, especially those out-of-state players.
If Burch goes to Clemson, how big of a blow to that is that to South Carolina as well? I mean, I guess you can't stop guys from taking visits, but, I mean, you know, to me, it's always been a lot, I guess, more favorable for Georgia to think that, just given the presence of Miles Murphy and Brazee, that, you know, maybe Clemson was a little full at that spot or at least a similar spot to what Jordan Burch might be doing, and therefore it could be a Georgia versus South Carolina battle. If Burch really is strongly considering Clemson to the point where, you know, he's there this weekend, that's a bit of a blow to the Gamecocks too, is it not?
Yeah, well, Clemson, to be fair, my friend, Clemson is going back for seconds and thirds and fourths of the 5-stars on the defensive line, like most do at my neighborhood Woodstock Marlowe's Tavern Sunday brunch, where that's all you can eat and they've got all kinds of great things on the menu there. But you know, Samante Capehart, it's Trey Williams, it's Brian Brzee, it's Miles Murphy, and it's Jordan Burch. I mean, that would just be the hall of defensive line halls, the end all halls, if Clemson could put all those guys together. Curiously, Georgia has been able to have a lot of momentum with Jordan Burch over the last 4 or 5 months. Now, this is a very silent recruitment, even more so than Zach Pickens was a year ago, Brandon. Very little media comes out at all. I've been told they're nowhere close to making a decision as of yet. Of course, we spoke about on Hedges how Will Muschamp's son actually goes to Hammond School. He's the quarterback there. Alex Huntley is committed to play defensive line at South Carolina from the Hammond School as well. That is, of course, Jordan Burch's team. So there's a lot of reasons why the Gamecocks should be in this fight as well. And I will agree with your point that it's probably a bigger blow for South Carolina for Jordan Burch to be at Clemson rather than Georgia this weekend, even though it gets you in a salty mood, my friend.
Well, I will remind you of my kind of crackpot theory on this, and I have lots of crackpot theories when it comes to these kinds of topics, but the more this thing stays quiet, the more I think Georgia at least has a chance, because if Burch from Columbia on the same team as the South Carolina coach's son, if he was leaning towards South Carolina, he would likely be pretty noisy about that. So the quieter it stays, the more Georgia at least has a chance. Now, by the same logic, it benefits Clemson too, because going to the upstate to play would be probably an even bigger blow to the folks in Columbia and Muschamp than coming to Athens. But quiet in this instance at least gives Georgia a chance. With that in mind, let's say that Burch did sneak over to Athens just for a minute to have himself a burger or a dog or something along those lines. Would he try to keep that secret? Would he be okay being photographed? Do you get the sense that that he'd be okay being seen in Athens? Or would he try to stay in the shadows if he even were to come on the UGA campus this weekend?
I don't think he's in the shadows, kid. I can remember him at G-Day, Brandon. He was just front and center, sitting in the front row of the West End Zone, watching the team work, watching the team prepare, watching the team go about its G-Day activities. A lot of the times when those clandestine visits happen and people want to kind of go, you know, where's Waldo, and try to blend into a field of recruits in the West End Zone, they sit way up high. So, you know, Jordan Burch was wanting to get a good look at all things Georgia at G-Day, and he clearly stands out. Let's remind folks that he currently, his skill set definitely reflects that, but he is an undecided recruit, a contested recruit, and that has allowed him, among many things, to vault to the number one overall prospect right now for 2020 on the 24/7 Sports composite rating.
All right, let me talk about another guy that I haven't really heard all that much about. We've gotten some social media confirmations for some of the guys who are going to be there this weekend. You've written about some guys at the forum as well at forum.dognation.com. But where does five-star tight end Arik Gilbert fit into all of this? Should we expect him in Athens this upcoming weekend?
He's expected to be at Clemson, sir, which will make you want to kick that birdhouse or give it a good Cameron Nizalek boot across the studio. Gilbert is expected to be at Clemson for their cookout this weekend.
I'm just telling you right now, Jeff, that's not a good thing. If we believe that follow the visits is a mantra, you have to also follow the non-visits as well. Gilbert did not come to the scavenger hunt, and you can say, well, he came to the scavenger hunt the year before that. He didn't need to see the scavenger hunt again. Gilbert was not at the scavenger hunt, and this so-called cookout that's at least symbolically really valuable, and a guy like Keely Ringo is leaving Arizona to come to, Darnell Washington's leaving Nevada to come to, the fact that Gilbert and Marietta is not coming to this, I don't think that's a great sign, Jeff. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Well, it's a big weekend, sir. It's quite possible 90 minutes away for him to look off both of those stops at the same time, and that might be something to look forward to as well, whether Gilbert makes multiple appearances over the weekend along his trips. But with Clemson, my friend, I think even you have documented, and I would even call it one of your crackpot theories, Clemson utilizes its tight end position even less than Georgia does over the last couple of years. They've stocked up their wide receivers much like they do their defensive line room. And this is one school he hasn't been to check out in quite some time. I mean, even when he made his spring barnstorming tour where he visited LSU, he visited Oklahoma, he visited Texas A&M, Mr. Gilbert was not in Clemson.
Did we lose Jeff? We'll get him back on the phone here in a second. Did we get him back? Is that? No, I think we lost him. Yeah.
Hey,
Okay.
Here's
where we lost you. You said when he did his barnstorming tour, he was not at Clemson. Pick up from there if you don't mind.
Yeah, he visited LSU, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, those three schools, I believe. Mixed in a secret trip to Georgia there as well that wasn't so secret on the Dog Nation forum. And he just hasn't been to Clemson in quite some time. And so that's, he just wanted to give that program, he told us that at the opening, he wanted to give that program a chance to see what that was all about, hang out with some of the other top players in the country too.
And certainly I don't, from speaking from the perspective of a Georgia fan here for a moment, I don't mind him visiting Clemson, but would you join me in saying that if this is not a double dip, if he's only at Clemson, if he doesn't come to Georgia at all, just given the fact this would not be the first high-profile absence for him in a, kind of in a major recruiting event, would you agree with me that that seems to say something, or do you think I'm overstating that?
Well, I just don't know what people define as an absence. If Gilbert shows up on Thursday or Friday before all the chicken wings and the slip and slide and the water balloon throwing contest gets going, if he's not there for that with all the kumbaya camaraderie from the other core members of the class, if he's not there for that, or if he shows up on Sunday, I think Cedric Von Fron told me he might be there on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday over the weekend. It just depends on if he's there for Georgia at any time during this open period or this contact, not a contact period, but a quiet period where recruits can visit on campus. If he shows up at Georgia at all, would you consider that an absence, or would you consider he needs to be there for the big thing?
Yeah, no, when I say absence, I mean literally absence. I mean he doesn't come at all. If he's there for any part of it, that's fine for me. I mean, I really don't, you know, care about it beyond that. But if he simply does not come, then that would sort of say something to me. I mean, as I said before, there's a very good chance I'm overstating it or reading too much into it, but I do think that for the sake of consistency, we have to say if a lot of visits mean one thing, then the absence of a lot of visits would seem to mean something else, especially when we're talking about an easy drive. You know, if he's not there at all and Darnell Washington, who plays the same position, leaves Nevada to come over there for a couple of days, and then I mean, it just seems to me, Jeff, something's going on. Is that wrong?
I don't know, Brandon. I think the big thing about the Clemson visit is he just hasn't been there at all lately. The big thing about, you know, your feelings about, you know, to go Dr. Melfi a little bit on the therapist couch here, like Tony Soprano, we continue to hear these things about Georgia. Georgia's recruited his family the best. Georgia has recruited him the hardest. It would be very hard for him to leave and not play for the in-state school. He only needs a couple of games of his senior year in order to figure out his decision, and he's currently planning on making his decision at his All-American Bowl jersey presentation. You know, there's a lot of chips there on Georgia's side of the table there that I think sometimes maybe you need a little bit of reassurance about, despite what the current visit pattern is for this weekend. I mean, I don't even remember you being this salty about it, my friend, when it was announced in early July that he was likely going to be at Clemson for their cookout during the dead period.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where obviously we know there's a connection here. We know he likes Todd Hartley a lot. You've reported on that a million times at DogNation.com. You talk about recruiting his family there as well. And I don't want to turn this into the Rick Gilbert show here, but I guess as one final follow-up on this, it kind of comes down to seemingly Gilbert likes the city of Athens. Seemingly Gilbert likes, you know, the idea of the UGA campus. But does he believe, as a guy who wants to catch touchdowns, does he believe that George can throw them? I'm not saying he thinks Clemson can. I think this comes more along the lines of, does he truly believe that Georgia has a creative enough offense to use a unique offensive weapon like him? I think that's what this ultimately comes down to.
Well, let me see. I guess the best way here is just a taste test, Brandon. You know, it's not sitting well with you right now about him visiting Clemson and not visiting Georgia. But in my mind's eye, for those that, you know, are living and breathing on these things right now, I think it's better that he's at Clemson rather than at an Alabama or at a Tennessee or at a Texas A&M or at LSU. I think the fact that it's Clemson, which is going to have a very tight class as it is, squeezing in all these five stars, I think the fact that it's Clemson, it might be a lesser strain of worry or threat of worry for the discriminating Dog Nation recruiting fan when it comes to his visit pattern for this week.
All right, that's very interesting. Let me do a couple of things semi-rapid fire here as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider update on slightly different subjects. Update on running back recruitment. We're obviously getting closer to Kendall Milton's July 29th date. That's really exciting for a lot of people. But in terms of this upcoming weekend as well, any chance we see a second running back other than Milton, who presumably won't be coming because he's all the way out in California and he's really close to his decision date anyway? Any chance there's a second running back, another running back other than Milton, who shows up this weekend there as well?
Well, I don't actually know if Mr. Milton is planning to make it out to with his decision imminent. I don't know if he's planning to make it out to Athens this weekend or not. But to answer your question, I do feel there's a good chance that other running back targets will show up in Athens this weekend.
Well, that'll be certainly fun to see as that full story starts to round its way out there a little bit. You know, the idea of a Tank Bigsby or somebody like that. There seems to be a lot of momentum for Bigsby right now. That'd be kind of a fun thing to consider. Also, kind of in the vein of kind of quick hitter stuff, at one point in time, we used to talk a lot about Jermaine Burton, then we kind of stopped talking about him once he committed to LSU. You did bring his name back up the other day on our Before the Hedges program, and now we find out that Burton is transferring high schools again. He's leaving California. He's going to go to IMG Academy. Georgia's had a good pipeline to IMG. Burton's obviously very close with former Georgia receiver Terrence Edwards. So I'm presuming that Georgia's still in it for Burton, given the fact that you mentioned his name the other day, the fact that he's going to be playing his final high school year in Bradenton, Florida, at IMG, a school that Georgia recruits pretty well. Does this help Georgia's chances with another wide receiver here, or does Georgia still look for another wide receiver?
Well, I think the dialogue now about will Georgia add a fourth receiver to the class is very much in play. And, Burton's a name that pops up, but there's also Arian Smith, who is the 10-3, 100-meter guy who just went and set a new world record for the under-20 teams at the Pan American Games, along with current or future Bulldog Matthew Bowling. Arian Smith is a name. So when you start wondering, does Georgia take an extra wide receiver? Do they take four? Does that mean they only take four offensive linemen? Does that mean they stop at two linebackers, one inside, one outside? Do they just take three defensive backs? I think that the discussion here now is a fourth wide receiver in play. And I think the thing that, I've always felt that Jermaine Burton was going to be one of the top five receivers in the country this class, even with dudes like G. Scott and Julian Fleming and Damon DeMus. And I mean, all these guys are supremely talented. But the thing that, I even shared this on the forum four or five days ago, Brandon. The Florida High School Association tweeted out a letter of interest or a word of interest or word of caution to its membership about multiple transfers and how the NCAA support staff or advisors have told them that they look at transcripts and they see multiple moves across a high school career as a way that prospects are seeking to chase grades, and that will be a flag on a transcript. So here you have, Jermaine Burton has been at Hayesville Charter, he's been at IMG, he's been at Calabasas, and now he comes back to IMG. IMG is a school which will make sure a lot of these elite recruits by their graduation tracks will be able to enroll early after their football season, the first semester of their senior year. I think with Burton, that's just another level of caution here to think about with he's a prospect that fits that mold that the Florida High School Association was talking about, whereas the NCAA will look carefully at transcripts which contain multiple moves across a high school career, because the indicator there is they think that prospect is chasing grades in order to be eligible.
Well, the other thing, too, about this, Jeff, is just from a sheer logistics standpoint, even if you've got good high school grades, and I won't presume to know what any of these kids are like inside the classroom, but even if you've got good grades, it is a paperwork logistical nightmare to try to tabulate credits at all these various schools. I'm sure every state's got its own standard for what you have to do and what you don't have to do. I can only imagine what a paperwork nightmare it must be for, I'm assuming, a school counselor. I'm guessing IMG has those as well. For a school counselor to kind of figure out where anybody is in terms of standing towards a graduation when you've got these states who probably have wildly different academic requirements, that sounds like a nightmare to keep up with.
It is, Brandon, and that's one of those things where it's so different now, Brandon. I don't know how much our readers and viewers know this, but maybe about 2 or 3 years ago, the core classes and the units and what these young people had to do, beginning with their freshman year, the courses they had to take in order to be eligible, got accelerated a great deal, where prospects had to just be even more on point when they're a freshman and they think they have college athletic aspirations, NCAA scholarship aspirations, that they immediately need to be on that college prep track in order to be eligible and be moving dutifully towards being able to graduate. Now, some of these kids seemingly have it all done where they can leave early and they can enroll early. Some of them, you even hear rumor about that they could even graduate early and leave before their senior season. It's possible to get that done. It is a labyrinth, my friend, for a lot of these players, especially when they move around in order to get cleared and qualified. I think every year it seems like Georgia has this worry about when will someone enroll, and I don't think that's the case with this class right now. But previous years, you remember all the fingernail chewing or sunflower seed spitting a lot of Dog Nation would do because so-and-so had not enrolled yet. That's just how hard it is these days, sometimes going through the NCAA clearinghouse.
All right, let me do one final thing as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update before we let you go. Obviously, we appreciate your time as always. This is more of a playing the hits, taking requests here. I have been asked to ask you about Jervon Dexter, the Florida committed defensive line. I guess there had been some online chatter about him this week. I honestly don't even know what this is about. But I guess some folks are kind of wondering if something might be up with Dexter here. Now, he's been kind of floating around the ether with a maybe Georgia for a while. That's not the first time we've brought him up. But is Georgia working on, Kirby Smart in particular, working on putting another big blow in the direction of Dan Mullen here with Dexter? How real is this right now in your mind for a position that Georgia still needs along the defensive line?
Yeah, I think Dexter is part of the ideal closing class for Georgia on the defensive line. I would think Birch is in there too. Jacoby Cowan is in there as well, depending on how the slots and scholarship room fits in at the end. Here's what I think will happen with Mr. Dexter. Number one, I think he is very good at what he does. I think he would be, even with a guy like Jalen Carter coming in, another kid from Florida that's committed to Georgia that will be at the cookout event this weekend. I think should Georgia get the chance to flip Dexter, it's going to mean a lot more than just salty gator tears and Brandon Adams dancing the jig in his studio. I think what has to happen here is I think Dexter will take a long, hard look at both schools. And he will look at the seasons, the 2019 seasons, and he will take a good look at what Georgia is and what it is and what it will be. And he will take a good look at what Florida is and what it will be. And I think the best way for Georgia to create the leverage for a flip here is a so-so or lackluster Florida season combined with Georgia doing Dog Nation things in 2019 as well. I think that's part of the recipe for the flip to happen. If it happens, I think that needs to happen. Georgia stock shoot up, Florida stock drop or dip a little bit. Should that happen, I think the climate would be created. Dexter was around a lot of those Georgia commitments at the opening in Texas. There's already a good camaraderie there. I think you've seen the social media that kind of went back and forth in a couple of places regarding Mr. Dexter. So I would say, to answer your question and to please the audience here a little bit, I do think the possibilities there still exist for a flip with Georgia with Jervon Dexter.
Really fun to think about, Jeff. Great stuff as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you at DogNation.com. I know you're busy as well, and that kind of hurry-up intel, those quick-hitter news nuggets in the forum at forum.dognation.com. I look forward to reading a bunch from you on that, too. I try to stay up to date on everything that you're doing, and we just appreciate all the information you're providing, and we'll look forward to catching up with you again later on this week as part of Dog Nation Daily as well.
Hey, Brandon, I hope you enjoyed your session today, and I think you'll be feeling better about the guest list in a few days.
Well, it's certainly good to think about. Thanks so much, Jeff. We'll talk to you then.
Yes, sir.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So I knew I was going to get a little criticism from the audience. Robert Barnes says, hopefully BA, this is in the Facebook comment section, he says, hopefully BA gets the negativity out of him before the hedge is presented by Kroger tomorrow afternoon. Here's what I hope. From time to time, much the same way your close friends or your family that you have a chance just to kind of be real. You don't always have to put on kind of a happy face and pretend. Hopefully that we've all been together now long enough, me doing this show, you listening or watching, that we can just kind of be real from time to time. And we can just kind of, you know, cut with the pretense. We don't always have to necessarily be on our best behavior or our kind of formal behavior. We can just be kind of honest. And I didn't love the unspoken context of the Cedric Von Prime piece at DogNation.com. I appreciate him being honest about his words there. I appreciate him spending his time there. This is no criticism of him, but reading between the lines, ooh, it seems like this one's still going to be a pretty tough recruitment for Georgia after also recently losing out on a pretty tough offensive line recruitment. I won't even presume to have any idea what a Rick Gilbert is thinking. I would never try to tell you that Gilbert doesn't like Georgia. I guess what I'm saying is, and I don't even really care where he goes this weekend, but if he doesn't visit Georgia at all, then I take that to mean something. Now, I won't go as so far to say I'm going to predict that he's not going to Georgia. That's overstating it completely. I don't have any kind of inside information whatsoever. But following the visits or the absence of visits or the absence of online chatter, the absence of things like that, the kind of circumstantial evidence that we collect from time to time, you know, paying attention to that kind of stuff, I think does matter a bit. But we shall see where all this goes. It's why it's fun. This is the soap opera. This is the kind of thing that we kind of evolve on, you know, from time to time, and that's kind of what we do. And I can't wait to watch how this soap opera twists and turns before we get to the ultimate decision date for a lot of these guys. By the way, on a very different subject, let's drop in a little bit of breaking news. Now, if you're watching on video live, this is breaking news to you. For the majority of our audience that hears the show after we do it live, you'll already know this in all likelihood, but let me take a moment to celebrate this. As probably expected, CBS has announced that Georgia versus Notre Dame will be at 8 p.m. Is it September 24th? Is that the date? 22nd. September 21st. September 21st. I knew it was 20-something. Connor was showing me the numbers, but I was inverting them. So September the 21st, Georgia versus Notre Dame will be 8 p.m. on CBS. What? I'm so excited. I'm choked up. What an incredible piece of news this is. I'm trying to think in my lifetime of home games for Georgia that have been more anticipated than this. And frankly, the list of any of them is just really, really short. The the history regarding this, we had a chance to talk to Herschel Walker about this last week. That he said, yes, it does mean a lot to me. You know, growing up, Notre Dame was football. They were college football. And if you're a young man that came of age during the 1970s, you know, Herschel became a college freshman in 1980, Notre Dame was the name brand of the sport. And Herschel said, to be on that field in the Superdome in Louisiana playing them in a national championship game, he talked about how much that meant to him, and then went on to say, and now to think about how things have changed since then. The stature of Georgia has grown so much. And now Georgia here in 2019 will host Notre Dame in a game that's going to take place on 8 p.m. I'm assuming that's Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson in the booth there that night for Georgia. Brad is such a great play-by-play announcer, a good friend of us here around Dog Nation Daily as well. And y'all know I like the pageantry that surrounds college football. I like that CBS theme song. I think it's one of the great theme songs of any football broadcast. I love that one so much. And to think that broadcast, for those of you watching it on TV, that's going to reverberate in your TV screen, and then the scene's going to set, the overhead shot of Georgia completely dark that night at 8 p.m., crowd full, just as much fun as it can possibly be, officially announced, 8 p.m. on CBS for Georgia Notre Dame, and a really fun home slate for the Dogs. Gets even more exciting when you think about that primetime day for the Dogs and the Fighting Irish. All right, let me do a couple of SEC through type stories here. Spend a good bit of time on that. Let me talk about a couple other stories here for a moment. So Dennis Dodd at CBSSports.com had an interesting piece about Georgia. But in that piece, Steve Spurrier said something about Nick Saban that I thought was interesting, in that it was the first person I've heard of that has put any parameters on when he thinks that Nick Saban might leave. The context of the piece was, when is Kirby Smart and Georgia going to overtake Alabama? And Spurrier, talking about Saban's future, says, if he loses three games in a year, 2 years in a row, he's gone. Other than that, he thinks Saban's going to stick around. I think that is Steve Spurrier being way too generous about what Nick Saban's future at Alabama is going to be like. I don't think that Nick Saban would come back to Alabama if he ever had a season where he lost three games. Now, it's obviously hard, really hard to beat Alabama three times in a season because of the talent advantage they enjoy over everybody else. I mean, I'll remind you of what Tom Hicks, the University of Texas booster and Rangers owner, said on this podcast that we referenced on this show a couple of weeks ago, that he was so dissatisfied with the pressure cooker of Alabama that he almost took the Texas job going back to 2013. Nick Saban does not like to be unappreciated. In fact, that's the one thing that all the big-time coaches seem to have in common. Urban Meyer got tired of Florida after the 2010 season. Steve Spurrier took the Washington Redskins job in large measure because Florida fans weren't happy with being in the Orange Bowl in kind of a non-national championship year. I think the pressure at Georgia wore down on Mark Richt at the end. All these coaches who are very different, and yet they all seemingly have the same response to the just insatiable appetite for winning championships that exist in the SEC. If you're not providing that to your fans, virtually no coach wants to stick around forever and, you know, get the rocking chair, the gold watch for, you know, kind of a long, you know, retirement sort of victory lap tour. It's just too much pressure, and the criticism just stings too much, even for a guy like Saban. So the first bad year Saban has, and by bad I mean not in the college football playoff, I think he's gone after that. I really do. I don't think he has the stomach, after all that he has accomplished, to listen to folks say, "What have you done for me lately?" in a non-playoff year. I mean, you hear Alabama last week in SEC media days essentially treating the season as a disaster because they lost to Clemson in the national championship game. I admire that commitment to excellence. I admire that desire to go out and win at the highest level. But it's also a bit of a precursor for what life would really be like if they missed the playoff. And I don't think Saban's sticking around for much after that. Kind of an interesting story comes out of LSU. We showed you the video on our video yesterday of the brand new locker room that LSU just opened. It's a beautiful place. They've got those like sleeping pods in there. I said yesterday it kind of looks like the kind of thing you see in like a fancy plane first class to Europe, where you have like this, you know, you're perfectly enveloped in comfort and luxury. They've got these in their locker room, and I guess not everybody loves this new look for LSU, a locker room that almost certainly was very expensive. The Spun wrote about this. There was a professor at LSU that complained about his working conditions in comparison to this new LSU locker room, and Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, and I just absolutely stand behind him 100% on this. He says back to the professor on Twitter, now he's since deleted the tweet, although the Spun had the screen grab of this. He said, "What gives you the right to the fruits of our labor?" In other words, saying, you know, we could pay for this based on the revenue we generate as a football program. We did completely pay for this because of the generous donations of our boosters. Why do you have your hands in our pockets? And I got to tell you something. Joe Burrow may be a young man, but he comes across as the wise old soul in this conversation, I believe. So good for Burrow on that. Let me go ahead and make that your SEC through. And I had a couple stories I was going to get to here for a moment. Let me just do one of these for now, and I'll save one for tomorrow. 24/7 Sports, kind of, they do this sort of every year. They kind of take a look at the incoming freshmen to college football, and they kind of have their list. Y'all know I like lists. They have their list of the top breakout players in all of college football. And for the most part, their breakout list coincides pretty cleanly with the overall 24/7 Sports composite ranking of five-star recruits and whatnot for the previous cycles. There's not a ton of surprises here, but one of the names on that list is Nolan Smith. And when you compare this with the fact that Nolan also got a little love from Sports Illustrated the other day as potentially a top 100 player in the country, you know, or at least a guy that maybe have gotten snubbed from that list, at least should have gotten more consideration than he got. There are a lot of breakout potential guys from this Georgia freshman class, especially when you can add into that the junior college transfers as well. However, I think the media is probably right on this. Given Georgia's need for a pass rush, given Nolan's prodigious talent, at least what we've seen from the high school level, he may be a pretty good candidate to be a breakout guy this year. With all due respect to the guys, the spotlight may be on Nolan more so than any of the Georgia freshmen this season. All right, let me wrap up with this. And I'll admit this is totally self-serving, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. Did y'all see the other day that Jim Harbaugh went on Tim Kawakami, who's a writer out in the Bay Area? He goes on his podcast. I'm sure they have a relationship dating back to Harbaugh's time as the 49ers coach. And he talked about how Urban Meyer that controversies essentially followed him to every job that he's taken, and that got some attention. Ohio State fans weren't too happy about that just because Meyer beat up Harbaugh on the field a lot while they were coaching the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry. However, I have a different take on this. Do you think that Florida can still celebrate the Urban Meyer era? You know, just given the fact that he left there in not the greatest fashion in 2010, the fact that when people have written about Harbaugh's words, they've referenced all the arrests that occurred. Obviously, Aaron Hernandez kind of sticks out as the face of that time in some respects. I wonder what the future of celebrating the Meyer era is going to be for Florida. I think it's fair to ask. By the way, speaking of the Gators, 997 days, that's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you tomorrow back here on Dog Nation Daily.